everyone, and welcome to episode 108 of the Holding Court Podcast. Today, I'll share an embarrassing story I forgot to mention from the marathon. Justin messes up my flower delivery, and we'll share some more stories from our first 2 weeks in Boston, all coming up right now on Holding Court.
Boom. Bum 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 bum
bum bum bum bum bum bum bum. Hello.
Hey there.
Long distance. We're back.
I know. I think what is this, like the second or third time we've done this from like me being on the road?
Yeah, I don't know. But as you guys know, we made the move to Boston for the year, and I've been here, I think it was 2 weeks yesterday, so I am getting settled. And funny story, when I drove up with the dogs and my friend Mike, who's from Boston, from spring training in Florida, drove up, got to Boston, and the place that we're renting is very vertical, I would say. It reminds me of kind of the Full House, but obviously loading everything in, getting here settled after driving the 3 days with the dogs shortly after completing a marathon. And the first day I open up the front door and there are flowers outside. And immediately just think, oh my gosh, they're from Justin for driving up our family from Florida. How lovely. And then I look at the card and they're actually from
From Justin,
from our financial group. Yes, both of them, Megan and Justin, shout out, listen to the podcast, so they'll appreciate this story. And I send them to you and I say, oh my gosh, I got flowers. You know, they say welcome to Boston. I thought they were going to be from you. And what was your reaction? Panic, just complete panic.
Not panic, but I was like, oh crap, I should probably send flowers too. So I went online. I actually tried to get same day flowers, but I think it was too late in the afternoon. So scheduled them for delivery for the next day. And I go through the whole thing. I pick out the flowers. I get them ordered. I have to look up our Boston address because I don't know what the address is off the top of my head yet. And then I go to fill out the card. And I'm trying to do this as fast as possible because I was trying to like get it in to make sure it got delivered as soon as possible. And I don't know, you probably have the card in front of you, so
I'm looking word right for at word. It.
I was going to say, why don't you read the card and then I'll tell you what in my mind I was typing.
Okay, so Justin's panic flowers for me driving up, not to mention driving fully from LA to Florida as well. So just the culmination of a beautiful adventure. The card reads as follows. Thank you for being the best dog mommy and husband on the planet. Love you so much and can't wait to start our Boston chapter together. Love, Justin. I think the second Justin is probably because, let me just tell you, when you write the message to flowers, sometimes you write, you know, love Courtney in the box. Like I'll send them to people for birthdays or babies, whatever. And then I think there's also a separate from box. And so I think That's actually that error. So that's not even an issue. I like the Justin hyphen Justin, actually looks very cool in there. But talk to me about the best husband on the planet. Is that a Freudian slip? And you believe that you are in fact the best husband? Are these also for you?
I think I got caught in between writing like best dog mom and wife and then saying I'm the luckiest husband on the planet is what in my mind I was writing.
Okay.
But I was going so fast, I think I just condensed it and skipped the whole like 7 words.
You know, none of this surprises me at all. At all. Like at all.
Yeah.
This is, I saw it and I just thought, here's the thing. Classic if you Justin. Were
Yeah, but if you were sending these flowers, you would read the note and edit it and probably have, I don't know, someone proofread it like 19 times before you did it. I just write it one time and I'm like, boom, send, done. Check it off the list. And I have a problem with not going back and reading through things.
I don't think I would need someone to proofread it. I think I would just do it.
You for sure would read it like 6 times though, to yourself.
I would do it correctly the first time.
But even if you did it correctly the first time, you would go back and you would read it like 6 times before you sent it.
Fun fact, when I send you something like this, like let's say we're sending someone flowers for their birthday, I only have you read what I wrote so you know that I did something and I get recognition for doing it. It has nothing to do with me wanting you to actually proofread my work. You are the last person. You
need my Cal State Fullerton proofread, be honest.
You're the last person I would have proofread anything, to the point where I actually think I could throw random words in there and you would glance at it and say, babe, that looks great. You're the best. I don't even think you would take the time.
We should try that sometime.
Okay, so here's my question to the listeners. Is he out of the doghouse for not sending the flowers initially?
It's kind of like double doghouse, right? Like,
I mean, I think it's very sweet. And this is actually, I saved it. It's going in my scrapbook box forever. I don't know. Maybe you see me as, it's like a single parent. You see me as the best wife and husband because I'm holding it down here. So I'm truly just fully Team Turner, doing it all, dog mom, husband, wife, everything.
I don't think that's it. I think you're doing it all and I think you're holding it down, but I'm not saying that you're,
it's just a typo.
It wasn't even a typo, it was just like I omitted like 6 words that I wanted to say. And yeah,
you probably only got about 200 characters I think you get on here, so I get it, you had to condense. I still love them. They finally perished. I finally had to get rid of them. They're in the trash, but I had a moment.
But the card is not.
The card is going to, I mean, I'm going to post this for sure. This is going on the internet. It's going to live forever. This is absolutely going on the internet. But I love the flowers. And there will be people that will listen that will probably say, oh, I never get flowers. You just appreciate them, even if there's a typo. I just like giving you shit.
Yeah.
Every it's time something like this happens, I just think, oh, this is great podcast material. Thank you, Justin, because I didn't know how I was going to open the podcast this week if you didn't do that. So thank you for the flowers and for the endless entertainment that you provide in our marriage.
You're welcome.
So after last week's episode talking about my marathon experience, I had mentioned the whole debacle that was the morning of the marathon. And yes, I did get a text from my lovely marathon guardian, driver, helper extraordinaire that he had listened. And it was a lovely text. He wasn't mad and I didn't give his identity out, so it's okay. But I got a text from Christy, who was my friend that I ran with and did the insoles rescuing and the whole thing. And she sent me a photo and said, I think you're leaving out a major part of your marathon morning. And I will tell you that it was a photo of, I want to say, what do you believe that was, a 24-ounce Pepsi cup? Standard soda cup?
Like a big gulp.
Honestly, I think it was. So the best part of the morning is I pee all the time. That's not the best part of the morning, but
I was like, whoa.
If you're a golden shower enthusiast, tune in. You are going to like this part. No, I calculate when I have to pee. I know that when I finish a liquid consumption, it's about 45 minutes for me to empty my bladder. It's important because when I go on runs longer than a couple miles, obviously I don't want to have to pee during it. So I make sure I cut off my liquids about an hour before. And same goes for marathon morning. I wanted to make sure that I stopped drinking. So when we got to the marathon, got through traffic, all of that, I would be able to pee right when I got there. Not accounting for our route, traffic, the detour, I was almost in tears. I had to pee so bad. And I want to say the only other time I had to pee this bad was when you got me that limo for my birthday to Anaheim for that Pirates dinner thing, like the medieval times thing. Do you remember that? And yeah, everyone was,
we were literally shedding tears.
I was crying because I had to pee so bad. I think we probably did like had a drink at the house, and then we were in the worst. Well, it's probably just normal traffic down to Anaheim in rush hour, but the worst traffic. I was curled into the fetal position in tears, just had to pee so bad. But this is what that reminded me of. And I was in so much pain. And our driver said, you know, I actually have a soda cup in the back seat. If you want to pop back there and do your thing, like I'll
let it rip.
Let it. Well, hopefully it's not ripping. That would, I'd need a bag maybe. But I say, I don't think I'm at that point, but I'm close to that point. And it was maybe, I want to say it was actually when we were pulling up to the stadium, I reached fully my limit, got into the back seat, had, I think my coat, one of my layers over my waist, take down the biker shorts and just, I kind of put it on like above the floorboard. So I'm almost sitting off of the seat and I just go. And I wish I could say that this was the first time I've peed in the back seat in a cup. I've done it multiple times. It's definitely easier for men. They do make a women's urinal. I have seen that on the internet, but I am peeing and I'm filling up this cup to the point where I almost have to, I mean, I think I had to cut it off at the point because we're at the very top. And then Christy, bless her heart and soul, I say, I'm going to throw up at the volume of urine in this cup. And she's like, just give it to me. And I'm like, you're not grossed out by my pee? And she's like, well, I just, it's fine. Like I'll handle, I'm almost going to throw up right now talking about it. It's reminding me of doing the COVID spit test. I don't know what it is because I don't know. I remember my mom is going to listen to this and laugh, but you remember when you have to do like urine samples for your physical every year for school? And well, you're like, I have to do them all the time for drug testing, but there was always a little cabinet in the bathroom. If you're doing these at a doctor's office and you open the cabinet and you see like other people's urine in there and it's like steamy and disgusting and gross and it's labeled different colors and what have you. I remember doing my physical, I want to say it was fourth grade, and I always gave it to my mom because I'm grossed out by it. And she's walking to find a nurse to hand off my urine. And the nurse comes around the corner and they have a collision and my pee goes all over my mom's crew neck sweatshirt and I'm about to throw up. And so I think I just have trauma from that, but
bless. Wait, you weren't laughing? You were...
I don't know what I was.
I would have been crying hysterically.
But Tyne was fully wearing my pee on the front of her sweatshirt. And so it reminded me of that. But I'm like, Chrissy, just dump it out the window. And she's like, nope, just don't talk about it. Just don't talk about it. I have it. It's fine. And she's just holding it between her legs while we get up to the marathon. And then we get there and she's like, Gort, your cup is on the ground. It was on the ground next to the truck. And I remember she sent the photo to my sister after the race because my sister's like, how did it go? And she's like, guess what's in this cup? And my sister's like, oh my God, champagne? Like you snuck champagne in? And Chrissy's like, no, that is your sister's pee.
Different champagne shower.
So I wasn't dodging the story that I had to pee in the back seat. Do I regret it? Absolutely not. I would do it again. Anyone that has a weak baby bladder like me can appreciate it, but... Wowza, what an adventure. And what a friend. I mean, get you a friend that will carry your urine cup, a 24-ouncer, and just
Daesh. Hold Daesh really came through.
Yeah. So you missed all that action for sure.
I can't believe you forgot that story last week.
I know. I don't know how it wasn't in my notes, but it's out there now.
I thought you were intentionally like not telling it because I thought about it when you were like going through the whole morning and I was like, okay, she's going to tell this pee in a cup story. And then you didn't. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. No, you know, I'll share everything. But I hope that I don't have any of those eventful experiences. I really don't know what to expect for Boston on Monday, truly. But I know that it'll be very different. I have to take a bus to the starting line. It's not like parking at Dodger Stadium and all of that. Hopefully there's urinals and all of that. But we'll see. I feel like I'm getting at least acclimated to the area. I had my first turkey experience, which, fun fact, turkeys are kind of an angry mob right now in Boston, especially in the area we live in. They are taking over. And I think you obviously think of turkeys when you think of like New England themed things, but they're not wearing little top hats or anything like I would love to think, but they are everywhere. And I don't know what it is about me. They're huge. I don't know what it is about me in the aviary community. I'm assuming turkeys are in the aviary community. I believe they are. They're just massive. I was on Nextdoor, which is a cesspool of the internet, worse than Facebook. But I was logging on and getting our new address on there just to kind of see the happenings of the neighborhood. And I see a story of a mailman. And it says, Roger, does anyone know where Roger's at? You know, Roger hasn't been delivering our mail and we're just worried about him. And, you know, all the responses are you didn't hear and links to stories and all of that. And I guess Roger was attacked. I'm not laughing, but it's actually insane by a turkey. And he has to have a full hip replacement from the attack. And he's out 12 weeks. And what in the F? Like, I saw two of them. There's a train here. It's like a trolley train, just a couple cars that runs through called the T. And I saw two turkeys walking along that last week when I was driving to the game. And obviously it's like you're at the zoo when you see, I don't know, growing up we had raccoons, deers, nothing fun. Obviously LA has feral cats and coyotes.
P-22.
Oh my gosh, RIP. The legend. RIP. But you see a new species out in your neighborhood. It's very exciting. And then I get online and I obviously see that Roger had been taken out by a turkey. And then it changes the whole landscape of this experience. And I just couldn't stop looking up stories. And it just, there are these crazy headlines of the mob of turkeys are back and turkeys are trolling the greater Boston area. Beware of turkeys. And the next day I go to open the back slider to our little patio and I'm face to face with Tom Turkey. He is right. I could have grabbed his little, what's that thing? His little gobbler. I could have tugged on it like a little, like rang a bell with it. That's how close he was. And I have the dogs with me because obviously I'm going to take him out to go potty. And I'm just oddly calm. I'm just at peace that this guy is in my backyard and I want more of him. And so I put the dogs inside and I just walk out and he's not threatened by me, but I'm aware of his capabilities of attacking me. And you know, the marathon coming up, I don't want to get too close, but he is just strutting around the yard. Like it's nothing. And I don't know how he got in the backyard. I guess they can fly, which fun fact and terrifying fact, but he landed in our backyard, was not injured. So I don't have to rehab him or take his wing under my wing. But he was here and I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I hope we can have a good working relationship where he doesn't harm me. I don't know. It's exciting in a new area. And I was out in the suburbs for Easter and hearing all about their creatures, but I welcome all the new creatures. I just hope I don't need a total hip replacement after I encounter them. But have you seen any yet? You haven't really been here for more than a weekish, but have you encountered any turkeys or heard about them?
You did send me a message on Instagram, and the account's called Only in Boston, and it's a lady walking down the street, and she's literally being like followed and like pecked at by this turkey, like for like 100 yards. This turkey's like chasing her down.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And so that's kind of crazy.
And you think it's funny, and then you hear that it can actually take you out, because you see it and you're like, oh, that's kind of cute. A little turkey following me, like a little penguin. But you got to beware of the turkeys. I don't know. And then I like set up our little grill out there, and I'm thinking this turkey makes one wrong move.
Yeah.
He might be my plump little turkey on the grill there.
Do you think the turkeys are protected in Boston?
I don't know. I guess it's mating season right now. And someone the other day said, if they so much as see their reflection in your car door of themselves, they will go at your car door. They're just desperate to make love with themselves. They're like, the mating season is hot right now. So I guess that's why they're crazy. I don't know why they attacked Roger. Maybe he looked at him the wrong way. I really don't know, but I guess that's why they're wild right now. But I don't know if they're protected.
Yeah, because you think if there was like a issue, like why wouldn't people just like...
Yeah, why can't we? I don't know. I think it's in recent years. I guess they went away for a while and now they're back and they're infiltrating the entire town. But
interesting.
I haven't seen them on any of my runs yet and had to, I don't know, just... just one in our backyard, which is so weird because I see all those videos and there's always two or three, but just one little Tom turkey.
Hopefully there's some new Bostonian listeners that can give us some more insight on these turkeys.
I think I've done all the insight. I mean, I've researched, I've read, it is wild, but just part of getting adjusted to a new city, I guess, is learning all the ins and outs of the neighborhood.
Learning all the wild animals that are going to be running around.
Yeah. So as I said, you had first week of the season. It's already been a week and a half. What was your, I guess, first impression of opening day or opening week as a home player in Fenway?
Well, Fenway was crazy. I mean, just opening day obviously is special with the announcements and being on the line and the flag dropping from the monster in left field, which is like iconic, I think, in baseball. And then the anthem, hearing your name called, the cheers, the flyover, the whole thing was crazy. And then the game we played was absolutely bananas. Like,
oh my God,
just back and forth. And, you know, we ended up losing, but just a crazy game. And then the next night, you know, the Adam Duvall walk-off was absolutely insane, and the new lights in Fenway with the new LEDs, the light show, which I don't think anyone on our team knew that they had that capability because they hadn't done it yet, right? Like, the day before was a day game. We knew we had new lights, but we didn't know it was going to be like that. So
Club Fenway.
Yeah, so that was crazy. You know, obviously going to the Bruins game the night of opening day was really cool, sitting on the glass watching them win in overtime
and wearing a red sweatshirt.
I did show up wearing a red sweatshirt, and I felt like
you were Where's
Waldo. If someone made a Where's Waldo book of me, it would have been the easiest book on the planet, because
so in LA, and nothing against LA fans, just the fashion for fans at a lot of sporting events, Kings, not every single person is wearing a Kings jersey or a Kings sweatshirt.
Or and black.
I think that's just in general in sports. I think a lot of people wear, you know, whatever. A lot of people even wear different teams, which drives me bananas. But like, I just wore a black sweater because to the game that day, I just wore leggings, black sweater, and then I had my jacket over it. So I just switched out my jacket for my Red Sox jacket. So I didn't really think, oh, I'm going to blend in. And then I think our friends were all just wearing black. No one was wearing Bruins stuff. But you wore a red hoodie to opening day and you just said, oh, I'm not going to change. I'm already in a hoodie. I'm comfortable. And we're walking the concourse and you could not stick out anymore. Every single person, obviously Bruins are making historic run. Their season's crazy. So fans are,
they already did. They accomplished it.
Oh, well, late news. See how invested I am in this, but you were the only person not wearing the black or the yellow in some capacity. And so you just you said, I have to get a jersey. And you just made a hard left into the team store and picked out a jersey. And I believe he ended up scoring the, I almost said walk-off hit, but the
pasta.
The game winning.
I got a pasta jersey, and yes, he scored the game winning goal.
So they might invite you back out for playoffs, but I know. And it was cool, and everyone was in it, and yeah, same for Fenway. It definitely felt like people were, you know, on the edge of their seat the whole game. I mean, it didn't hurt that it was a crazy game and it was back and forth and there was a ton of offense and it was wild, but definitely a really cool experience. And there's just something magical about opening day, for sure.
Always. Yeah, it's the best. It's the best, especially like getting to, you know, stand out there. Some of these guys, it's their first opening day roster they get to make. So the first time they get out there and get their name called and standing on the line. And it's a big deal. I mean, I think it's really special, not just for us as the players, but special for, you know, families, wives, kids, everyone to go out there and get to see that and be a part of it. So, and it was pretty cool. I did a little deal with this bump box company, the speaker company. And
oh, yeah,
I got all the guys a Boston Red Sox big old speaker as an opening day gift. So thanks bump box for working with me and getting it to those guys. So at least they had a little something.
No, those were cool. It's very 90s throwback.
Yeah. I feel like you just were like, put it on your shoulder and walk around the clubhouse.
Absolutely. Take it to the beach, the tailgate. No. No, it was really cool. Freezing. I had my hot hands going, but it wasn't too, too bad. And I always say, if you're out there playing, I can be in the stands watching you. And it doesn't hurt to get a little tequila and warm up. Obviously, you can't do that. But for me,
yeah, it was pretty cold
on my side. But it was nice. I have to say we've had pretty good weather here. Sun's been shining. I've been keeping an eye on the weather for the marathon. And right now at one point it said 86 degrees and sunny and I almost started crying, but it's already switched and now it says 56 and rainy. So I will probably not even pay attention to it until Friday or Saturday when we get a little closer. But I don't know. I feel like you have such an easier time adjusting because you know some of the guys, and not even just guys that you played in LA with, but I think baseball is just a big fraternity, right? And you've come across so many different guys and staff members, and you just have so much obviously in common. I feel like from a wives perspective, you know, obviously I know Mariana, Gianni, and a few of the other girls, but we're kind of just in it from a different way. Obviously, if you have kids, you can bond over that, or you kind of talk about where you're going to live and, you know, finding a new gym and new all of this and that. But you obviously go and you're with these guys and you're hanging out, but you have stuff to do right away. So you get there and then you're in the cage with them, or you're taking ground balls, you're doing defense, you're in meetings. So I think it helps the awkwardness, and not that you're awkward at all, because I feel like you can throw into any scenario, but you have stuff to do. So it doesn't really feel like you're like at a new high school and alone on a hill. You're kind of just immediately teammates with everyone. Did you feel pretty comfortable going into it, or were you like, hello, fellow teenagers?
I think you're right. There's so much like commonality, right? Like you're in the cage, everyone's working on hitting and their swings and talking about hitting and different things, and then defense and then all this time. And I think one of the things that is probably not realized by a lot of people is how much time we spend at the field. I think if we play a 7 o'clock game, people probably assume we get there between 5 and 6 for the game, when that's not even close to the truth. You know, I'm usually at the field at 1 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game. And then the other thing is because we're there so early, but you know, there's one batting cage and there's one time for batting practice, whatever. There is actually a lot of downtime in between there where you get to, you know, hang out in the food room or in the training room or in the weight room, and you're getting to talk to guys, and you know, just funny stuff comes up and baseball stuff comes up and family stuff comes up. So there's so much time around these guys that throughout a 162 game season, 180 days, you know, it does become your big family because you're literally spending so much time with all these guys.
Yeah. So you kind of just get thrown into it immediately. Do you go around and introduce yourself?
Obviously,
this happened in spring training.
It takes a few times to like put the names, the faces, and not so much in uniform. It's more out of uniform. It's harder, like at first, to be like, oh, this is that guy, this is that guy. Because when the guys have their uniform on and their names on the back of their shirt, like it's super easy, or you can see their number, it's super easy. But out of uniform is a lot harder. So when like fans, like, for example, we're in Tampa right now, jumping an Uber yesterday to go to breakfast with Ref Snyder and Bobby Dalbec. And I was actually on the way back to the hotel. Our Uber driver is like, hey, like, are you guys ball players? And we were like, oh, yeah, we are. And he goes, Turner, Dalbec, and Ref Snyder, right? And I was like, oh, my God. Like, that's so impressive. Like,
he's like, room number 502 at the hotel. No, I'm kidding.
Well, no, but like, obviously, no, I'm easily recognizable, right? But like, to actually like, no, I was like, wow, that's impressive. Like, it took me a week to get everybody.
No, that's crazy. I do think baseball players are the most recognizable away from this. Obviously, basketball as well, because it's a smaller group and you get everyone's faces. But football, for sure, you don't really get a good glimpse. Like, aside from the quarterback, obviously, football, hockey, that one's hard too. But I know, that is impressive, I have to say. Well, you'll see that thing all the time where they'll have players, sometimes during playoffs, fake be an Uber driver or interview fans and kind of play a prank on them and get them to say something, or who's their favorite player, or who's their least favorite player, and it turns out it's actually the person interviewing them. So I feel like out of context of uniform or a situation, sometimes it is harder to pick out those players for sure.
Yeah, it's always funny. And I'll tell a story real quick about back when I was with LA and we were in Colorado playing the Rockies. Obviously, Dodger fans travel really well there. And after the game, me and Adrian were walking back to the hotel because we were playing on a fantasy football team together. So we were talking about, you know, this week's coming up, who we're going to play, some possible trades and whatnot. And these three guys, like, basically followed us all the way back to the hotel, which one is kind of creepy, but they were telling us how big of fans they are and they've watched the team for 20 years and they came all the way out to see us and they love how we play and yada, yada, yada. And so for this whole like 15-minute walk back to the hotel, they're talking about how big of fans they are. And right when we get to the hotel, we're like, all right, guys, you know, have a good night. And they say, wait, 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 wait. Andre, can you sign my autograph?
Oh, no.
And we're like, oh, my God. Like, you literally just told us for 15 minutes how big of fans you were. And then you called Adrian Gonzalez Andre. I thought it was hilarious. I was like crying laughing. And Gonzo was just shaking his head. But it's just like to my point, it's hard to it's not always easy to recognize guys out of uniform when they don't have their name on their back or their number. So
no, totally. And you always get, oh, there was a lady. Well, you always get Josh Turner, which is the country singer, but Jason is one that I've heard lately. We got to Phoenix for the Super Bowl, and I think you were walking through baggage claim, and who was it? Like Anthony Anderson or someone was standing there.
Yeah.
And you guys like said, what's up? And then all these people came out with baseballs, which is so wild. But I guess it's such a big event for people to travel. I mean, obviously we weren't there for Super Bowl. We were there for the more elite event of cornhole, but they had all these baseballs. And then this woman was like, oh my gosh, I would do anything. I am the biggest, no matter what uniform, I will always be a Jason Turner fan. And I said, me too. And then just walked away. But
I actually got one yesterday in Tampa. I was signing for some kids right before the game. And this guy runs over and he's like, hey, Trey, how's your face doing, man? How much does that hurt? And I was like, Trey?
Oh, no.
And he's like, yeah, you got hit in the face, right? And I'm like, yeah, but who's Trey? And he's like, oh, my God, I mean, Justin. I go, I mean, I know Trey is like my brother from another mother. And we like really tight, but like, I don't think we look anything alike.
I don't know. You have the smooth slides like he does, but no, it's so funny.
Not quite.
Yeah, I don't know if I had the same level of exposure, if I didn't have the same level of exposure to your team and watching games and being around, if I would be able to pick people out or be bold enough to say something in public. That's why I always think it's funny if we're out to breakfast and I'll see people Googling you and then they'll be kind of looking weird and then I'll see them Googling me and then show the photo to who they're with and I'm thinking, oh, I'm the confirmation, so they don't make an ass of themselves and accidentally say the wrong thing or ask if you're the wrong person. So I don't know. It's always funny, but all in good fun. There was also one more interesting thing that I want to chat about from one of the games. I went to every game on this homestand except one. I stayed home for one. I think it was the fourth game or the fifth game. And your teammate hit his very first home run in the majors, Massa. And it went on the Green Monster. And I'm watching it all unfold on TV. And my immediate thought, because you know I love milestones and I love all of those sort of things, was getting the ball back. And it's always the worst when it goes into the stands because they can't authenticate it, right? If it goes in the stands, technically, unless it's like the numbered ball, like the Aaron Judge ones were numbered, I think. So they would be able to tell which one.
Yeah, no matter what, even if we get the ball back, they can't authenticate it once it reaches the stands. And that's the difference between the Judge balls and the Pujols balls is they were pre-stamped, so they would know for a fact that that was the baseball. But our balls are like in-season baseballs. They're not marked at all. So once they go in the stands, like, it's literally, I mean, kind of useless to anyone except for the player for that milestone. But we can't even get it authenticated.
They'll put it in kind of a case and they'll do, I know LA would do almost like a little label maker thing and say, right, you know, first home run. Obviously, if it's a base hit and it's your 1500th RBI, then it never left the field. It never left anyone's line of sight. I imagine they can authenticate those, right?
Right.
But was that a sneeze?
I had to sneeze. So I had to mute it for a second. Sorry.
No. And so I see the ball and no one catches it, but it kind of bounces down. I want to say a Pirates fan picked it up and handed it to this kid in the front row. And you see, you know, after the next batter, they already show, you know, I don't know if it's security or clubhouse personnel or something, talking to this family. And on the broadcast, they're saying, okay, the negotiations are starting to get this home run ball back. And obviously it's a huge deal. And, you know, he came here as a player from Japan. And so, you know, first major league home run, first home run for the Red Sox, you know, Green Monster, super cool. Obviously you want to get that. And they just keep saying on the broadcast, it's not the negotiations or it's, they're, you know, driving a hard bargain and they're not giving it up. And when I say negotiations, I think you had a walk-off NLCS ball that was caught and then another one. And they can kind of ask for, within reason, some cool things. A lot of times they'll say, I want to meet the player. A lot of times they'll say, oh, can they send a signed bat? A lot of times they want, I think one of yours, they wanted a Cody jersey or a bat instead of you, you to sign the baseball. So if it's within reason, it can actually turn into something really cool. And looking back, I don't know if the Pirates fan knew that that was the first home run or if it was any sort of a milestone.
They actually interviewed him. He said he didn't know.
Oh, they did. Okay. So I'm so invested in this. And they, I guess it was a family that came in from Jersey, I want to say, and they said it was their first baseball experience and they wanted to hang on to the ball. And, you know, people were going crazy on Twitter, give the ball back. And in my opinion, I think that they could have turned it into obviously meeting Masa, obviously possibly going down to the clubhouse. They could have asked for, you know, a signed bat. It could have turned into a really, really, really cool experience. And now you just have a baseball. You have the story, obviously. It wasn't like you made the catch of a lifetime and got it, because then that obviously becomes something different for you. But you have the baseball, and I really feel like you could have had a baseball signed by that player. You could have, you know, went down to the clubhouse. You could have had a signed jersey. And then they posted the update that the family decided to keep the baseball and it was over. And it was actually kind of funny because the NESN, which is the broadcast of the game, just kept showing and like almost shaming this family to give this ball back. It was like low key shade. It was kind of funny. And saying the
they even sent Wally out. They even sent Wally out.
I know. To get it. That's when you know they pulled out like the big guns, when they send the mascot out to try to get it. And I don't know, if you're that parent and the kid says, no, I want to keep the baseball, you almost could have said, okay, well, let's get it signed, wink, wink. And then kind of talk to that person and say, okay, can we get kind of another dirtied up ball that kind of looks like this ball, and just maybe get someone to sign it. So we know in our hearts, maybe it's not the actual baseball, but now the kid gets to, they can just say, oh my gosh, you got the ball. So you get a chance to meet the players. They could have maybe lied to him. I don't know. Like, I'm not a parent. I don't condone necessarily lying to your children, but I don't know. It kind of made me sad. And I mean, there'll be many, many, many more that he will hit, but I don't know. I was just bummed out by that.
They definitely played it wrong, for sure. Like, who? I bet you the kid probably didn't even have the ball anymore.
He right dropped now. It on the tee leaving the game.
It's probably in the bottom of a pool or something.
No, for sure. Well, that is going to do it for today's episode. I will let you get off to your game. You have a couple more on the road before you head back home to Boston, but friendly reminder for everyone to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And then, as always, if you could rate and review the podcast, we really love to read those and appreciate those. I'll have to read more in the next one. I keep saying I'm going to read more, but leave your reviews. I think on Apple you can write a written review, and I will share those on the next time. But thanks for listening, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Boom. Bum 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 bum